to the HB Hoes, where we put the hoe in Hollywood. As you know, we are back this week talking about White Lotus. It's your hosts, Maddie and Sammy.
Oh man, I'm really sad that this is our second to last one of this season.
I know, penultimate.
I know, but I'm not at all sad about this episode whatsoever. Okay, today we're talking about season 3, episode 7 of The White Lotus, called Killer Instincts, written and directed, as always, by the lovely Mike White. And a quick synopsis. Rick confronts his suspected nemesis, and suspected nemesis was really hard to say just then.
Truly.
Suspected nemesis in Bangkok. Belinda takes Zion to Chloe's party. Saxon questions Timothy's behavior. Lori attends Muay Thai with Valentin, and Guy Talk dates Mook.
Mm.
Overall thoughts. What do we think?
So my overall thought on this episode is that there was a lot of funny things, and I want to just name the funniest thing, I think. I mean, there were so many, but when I rewatched it the second time, when Lori is getting, like, running out of the room with, I forgot his name.
Alexi.
And then the girlfriend comes. The girlfriend's getting mad at him, and she smacks him right in the penis. And oh my gosh, that was so funny. It was just so funny. I was like, why would she do that?
Yeah, I mean,
and I think
he deserved it.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000,000%. But it was just so visceral. It was so funny. I was just like, okay, all right, I see you, girl. You're done with his stuff. You're so done with it. So I just really, that is truly one of my overall thoughts. There was some really, really funny moments.
Oh my God, this episode, I was howling the entire time. I just want to call out my name here in the studio. I just want to say, Sam motherfucking Rockwell, good God, that man is so funny. Obviously, we open this episode with him and Rick finally being at Jim's house, which is the guy that we've been talking about all season with Rick. And they're talking and, you know, the pretending to be a director. And literally, I'm like, you would think they're taking a water taxi in. Maybe they would take those 10 minutes for Rick to, like, fill in Frank on what's going on, because he came in fucking clueless. And, like, it was just his commentary, the enforcer, the executor, and the notary trilogy, just pulling random, probably American films at some point, or will be, names out of his ass.
Truly.
The notary, and that's a trilogy. Oh my God. Yes. It was hysterical.
So
and then
handled today is the notary trilogy, which I didn't understand at first, because there was so many things that happened, but then I was like, oh, because then he said the trilogy. That was very funny. Very, very, very clever.
And then Maddie's name today is Monkey Mind Maddie. Do you want to explain that?
And the reason being, I know they didn't mention Monkey Mind in this episode, but
he did say monkey off your back, though.
Well, right. And I think, like, we've seen that theme. We have discussed, like, what that means in, like, Buddhism, even in yoga. Like, that's where I learned it first. So it's really interesting to see some of these things play out for them, like, physically, the way they physically act it, especially the dad. Like, when he is looking for the gun. That was such a good physical representation of, like, what monkey mind is like. And then him, like, having these, like, thoughts and visions, like, it is just, like, the logic can't penetrate because he's so, like, emotionally overwhelmed.
Right.
So I thought that there were some really good moments of that. So that's why, you know, we're heating up, you know, we're, like, sizzling in the pot. So things are about the monkey mind is going to get somebody.
Right. So we're actually going to run through all of our overall thoughts. We didn't really have anything that we wanted to dive too deep into that happened this episode. It's really just everything that we've already been talking about this season on the pod is just coming to a head now. We're going to spend the majority, I would say, talking about theories for next week, the season finale. But another thing that I want to say is that I could punch Mook in the face. So there's that. She really, really pissed me off this episode.
Ooh, no love, Mook.
No love. No love.
In fact, I'm a little turned off too. So I don't think you're wrong for that.
Oh God, I hope so. I hope so, because he is just pure, like adolescent, childlike wonder. And I'm like, I really, really love that in people. Just this adolescence, this purity. And it's really, really sad when we see that getting taken away from somebody, like a character. Like it really, really makes me sad. Mm-hmm. So I think this is kind of a theory, but I just thought of it and it's not, I didn't write it down in my theory section, but I think that Mook, Valentin and his goons and fucking Fabian are all crooks together.
Yes, and I think that she's gonna jump him into the gang. That is also, yeah, my add-on to that theory. Mook is gonna beat the shit out of Gaitak. I'm so sorry, but I don't want that to happen. Then he'll really not be in love with her. Maybe he'll be even more in love with her. Who knows?
I don't know. It's when you sent that to me last night, I have not been in the hood in a really long time, and I completely forgot that that's how gang shit went down.
Yeah, girl. That is how gang shit goes down sometimes. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's gang, honestly.
Yeah, it's giving. She's like, oh, I thought you were more ambitious than that. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Why did you need him to be more ambitious than that? It's because she wants to jump him into the gang.
Oh, she's trying to recruit
him. They
need
him. Security on their side.
Yes. Yeah, she's recruiting him. So, yeah.
Oh,
and
goodness.
That pretty little face, that pretty little angel, that goddess of a deceiver. I love her, and I'm like, I hate you.
Okay, some other things that I've written down was that when we were meeting Jim, the old guy, that we were meeting the OG loser back home, the OG bald white guy that comes over to Thailand and marries an Asian woman and, you know, just, mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of seeps into that culture. It was like, this is the OG.
Yeah.
Of all of the other white dudes that we see in the season, throughout the season, that are dating Asian women. And then the, oh God, I just want to say for Timothy, we're going to talk about him a lot in theories, so I'm not going to say that much right now. But with Timothy, one of the things that I noticed in this episode is that, like, literally Mike White aged this man 10 years in 6 days. Like, he, when he's standing there talking to Saxon, all of those fine lines are crazy out there, like just sharp fine lines.
Yeah.
And but in the first episode he looked so much younger,
like spry.
Like it's yeah it's just so crazy, like that the representation of stress, it's like they made it, they did that so well.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, anything else that you wanted to call out from this episode?
I definitely, like, my theories definitely have to be, but I do think something is going on with Rick and Frank. There was something about the smile that Rick cracks right at the end of the party. It's so subtle. It's like just one side, one lip turns like upwards, you know, one corner of the mouth. And, like, it's very Scorpio-like. I'm like, who are you exacting revenge on, actually? I don't
interesting.
Know. Interesting. Also, like, the way that he flopped on that monologue so fast, and, like, Rick, there's something about Scorpios and, like, truth and bringing out the authenticness in people. It's almost like there was, like, a satisfaction there. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what this theory is. But I'm like, oh, you got him back to where you wanted him. As, like, you know, a partner in whatever you need. And, like, so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm brewing on. I don't know what's happening.
I do think that it was subtle, but it was clear that we were meant to see him smirk like that. I caught it, too, both times I watched it and was like, what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about Rick and Chelsea. And I'm thinking that maybe that smirk, and we were talking about what happens in what we see in the teaser trailer for episode 8, how they're like, you know, lovey-dovey on the beach. Mm-hmm. You said, oh, maybe it's like a, you know, a quick shotgun wedding or whatever. Mm-hmm. but not shotgun, but like a quick wedding, like a
they just get married
on the beach. Yeah. which makes me think, and I'm like, oh, I hope that happens because I do really think that they really, really love each other. Maybe he's, because he's not partaking in the drugs or the women or anything in that hotel room with Frank. Maybe the smirk is like he's realizing after this big night out that Chelsea is actually what he wants. And like he's happy there, you know?
That is super wishful for White Lotus. Wow.
They're my Disney story.
Oh my God. I was about to bring up Disney for sure because it's feeling super Disney. You know, that's my fucking role. Like, what are you even
doing? I know.
This is a rare occurrence, everybody. Like,
yeah, this is, I am a Scorpio. Yeah. This is not happening. I'm not Disney about shit.
Yeah. So I am going to have to shit on that theory. I really hate to do that to you because I want to
believe. I love it. I love it. Please.
I really want to believe. You know I want to believe. I mean that wholeheartedly. But I don't feel good about Rick and Frank. I just don't feel good about them. Mm. And you know what? I'm going to bring up this still that we just looked at from next trailer.
Okay.
Frank is in a Speedo in a wife beater tank top, like stabbing up a mannequin of sort or something. And he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. So, and that frame was hard for us to capture. We were like, what's going on here?
Yes, that was, it took a couple times. It was so funny. Okay. So it's just, so okay. It is. And like, I also just want to say that like, just, this is, I'm just going back and then we'll get to that. We'll talk about the stabbing of whatever that was. But I just, another quote is, like MC Hammer, Peter Pan, a little bit of Pippin.
Yes.
The writing for him. And then it's like so funny because after all is said and done, they're back in the streets of Bangkok. He's like, he's like, oh, let's go out. Let's like have a night. And, you know, Rick is like, oh, I thought you were like sober though. And he was like, well, that ship sailed.
Yeah.
And then as they're walking away, he's like, I'll hit the monastery tomorrow. Exactly. It's fine.
I wrote that down too. I literally wrote that in my notes.
It's just his writing was fucking amazing. So he is wild. He's been a wild, like, it's been a shit show circus since he came on set. So like, and I also just want to say the only reason that Sam Rockwell is even in this show is because he's married to Leslie Bibb. We all know that the cast had to go to Thailand for 6 to 7 months. So he just went with her. They were sitting down with Mike White at dinner and he was like, yeah, if you have a part that you can write for me, you know, sure. Like I'll do it. No actual audition, no actual anything. It was a completely informal casting. And I'm like, thank God this happened because this character is fucking crazy.
Well, and you know what? That might actually lead me to another theory because we know that all the deaths in White Lotus have been wacky. And I'm like, this character is wackadoodle. Like,
yeah.
Not even that. It's just the fact that he can like switch up so crazy and quick and like, the improv was insane. What have I seen you in? Oh, the one where you're like a queen?
You're like royalty, I think.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It was hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it kind of gives out good friend vibes. I'm like, man, this man was willing to really help you. He didn't care. 100%. He was like, I'll roll with it.
Right.
It is a friend that you want, my friends. You're right.
So good. And then God, what does she say? She says something and he's like, go, it's like after he orders the whiskey because he realizes this is gonna be really fucking hard. And so both Maddie and I were texting during the premiere last night and I was like, no, don't relapse, like this is gonna be horrible. But he's like about to take his first sip of whiskey and she asked him a question. I forget what it was, but it was something wild, like, oh, your producer says that you want to make it about my life or something. And he's like, oh, my, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
It was just his timing and execution of these lines is just impeccable.
Yeah.
He's such a good actor.
Yeah. It is really nice to have his character, but I do think that like maybe something wild will happen with him just because of how like wild it's been. I'm like, okay, this is pretty crazy. Like you guys just went and did that. He got you a gun. Like he went out in Bangkok with you. Like this man is down for whatever. Mm-hmm. That is the definition of down for whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wait. And then I guess I do have one other little theory, but again, half-baked. I have no support. I actually think because there's multiple shots and the conversation of the girls that was had in this episode, Jacqueline acts, she really takes them for granted. She really takes them for granted. And like, I do wonder if she'll lose them. And like, that's not as wacky. I don't think Mike White is prone to do that, but I do wonder if like that will be like a crazy lesson, because that did happen. I think in the first season, there was like a couple things.
Oh yeah. 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 No, that's what I'm saying. Like in the second season too, the whole thing of White Lotus is it starts with the murder. We go back 7 days. We're always like, all of us are like, who gets killed? Who done it? You know? But he still royally fucks with everybody else, even those that aren't involved in the murder. And I think we can safely say it's not going to, unless there is a theory floating out there that because Lori and Jacqueline are involved with Valentin and Alexi, and we know that they're fucking goons, then like they might get caught up in some shit. But really, I feel like that's the, unless it's like accidental crossfire, I think the girls are safe. I think we're going to be okay. So like, but yes, I do think that their friendships are going to be, they're either going to go back to the exact same when they leave, because all of them live in different cities. It's very easy to just not talk for a couple months, then pick things back up like nothing happened. A lot like Sisterhood, or, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I think that they're like, or they're fucked forever. I just think that, I mean, it's very interesting to me. I think it's just the least interesting thing that's happening right now, because everything else is so fucking wild and the girls feel so realistic. Mm. Like this shit happens every day. It's girl true. Friendships.
It's true.
Are made and are killed. I know. You know, it's very easily if they're sensitive.
It's the most important thing in life. So
yeah, I know.
Friendships for life.
But going back to the Rick, Frank, I have no idea. I can't place Frank at all and what this finale is gonna bring. That was the wildest, because I didn't even catch that in the trailer of him hacking a mannequin to death. It actually looked like a pillow with a blazer on.
Yeah, something.
There's a lot of stuffing coming out of it.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I'm like, I have no idea how involved he's going to be in this. We know that either Chelsea is going to go to Bangkok to meet Rick, or Rick is going to come back to the White Lotus, to the island. So because there, we know, we see them reunited. So there's that. We know that Rick or Chelsea. Yeah, I mean, they're on the beach, so I assume mm-hmm. that he comes back to where Chelsea is. But one thing that has been a theory since the very beginning of the show, and it was kind of just like, we're just going to have to wait and see. There's not really going to be any proof until it buds, is that Jim is actually Rick's biological father. I actually think that this might be true, even though it's sort of on the nose, but there's something when Rick is confronting him, finally tells him who he is in this episode. He says his mom's name. He said Gloria Hatchett, mm-hmm. you know, Gloria Hatchett, you might not know her, but her husband was my dad. You killed him and blah, blah, blah. And then the Jim responds, Gloria Hatchett, like he knows who she is.
Right.
Like he is, but like almost like what I think he would say after that is Gloria Hatchett was a prostitute here in Thailand that, you know, I used to sleep with and she was batshit crazy and blah, blah, blah. Like,
sure.
It feels like one of those things. And then that sort of also supports that this guy that she says on her deathbed is actually Rick's dad and not
right.
the person that killed his dad.
Right.
Also, he was 10 years old. There's a good chance that he misinterpreted what.
Oh, absolutely.
His mom was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I know that we're not done with that storyline. It wasn't just ending with Rick pushing a man over on a chair and walking out of the room. Like, we did not build a whole season around that being the climatic exit.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Is he going to go back to him, or do you think the goons are going to find freaking Rick? I think that's how it's going to happen.
Maybe.
He thinks he's got free, but I'm like, this man's got power in Thailand now. Like, he gonna find you. Why would you do that? You got away on a freaking, like, a motorboat. A motor canoe.
a water taxi.
There you go. It was so small. You know, oh my gosh, I don't know how he would do that.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point, especially because they know that Rick is staying at the hotel too.
So. Yeah, and it's the two guys from the hotel that Mook always talks to.
Yeah, it's the two guys. They're technically the bodyguards for Citrala and Jim. So, yep. But they know exactly where he is. I mean, the thing is like he could have killed him and he didn't. Do you really think this guy's gonna go after him?
Maybe. Especially if it's his son.
What happens if they like reunite and the guy's like, actually, I think I'm your dad. Here's some fortune.
Well, then. Damn, Rick.
This is Disney. This is so Disney. So Disney. I'm just like, I think I'm anxious. I know. I have so much anxiety that I'm like...
I know. And it's crazy because it's coming out of your mouth and it's stumping me. I'm like, what? I cannot compute. Like, would Rick get off that easy? Like, I feel like he's done some pretty other terrible things in his life that we don't know, but
I just feel like that would be very Mike White of him. Like, it would just be very Mike White. Like, I don't know, just throwing us for a loop, not giving us what we expect. But then also, like, because in season one, the death was incredibly unexpected. It was sort of, we built up to it, but it was unexpected. In season two, he was telling us, this spoiler for season two, don't listen, just mute me for the next 20 seconds. But we knew that, like, it was clear that Tanya was going to die, but yet some of us, like, we just couldn't believe it, that he would kill off the only returning character. But, like, so it's, like, he's known for both playing into what's obvious, but then also making something look obvious, but then it turning out completely differently.
Michael White.
Okay, are we ready for another theory?
I am.
Okay, let's move to the family, to this fucking crazy Timothy time we're dealing with right now.
I hated watching his story.
Oh yeah. So this is a theory that I have, and it is based off of the poisonous fruit that we see in episode one. And I knew, and I was actually talking on Reddit back and forth with some people on a thread about this last week, about how they gave moments of the premiere to this poisonous fruit, and we were all like, Mike wouldn't waste time like that if it wasn't going to come back around. So I'm happy. We know that Timothy finds the fruit, like he remembers that the fruit's poisonous. And then we see Pam call it the suicide tree, like the locals call it the suicide tree. And I think that Timothy is going to use the fruit to poison Saxon in his protein shake.
Why would he poison just Saxon though?
I don't know, but that's my caveat is like, okay, but then he could poison himself, but is he going to poison Victoria too? And if so, how does he do that with a fruit? But I think that, I don't know. I'm just like with Timothy, I'm either like, he's going to kill everybody and kill himself, or he's going to find Buddha.
I hope he finds Buddha.
Me too.
I don't think he has it in him. And he doesn't have the gun. I mean, like, I get the fruit. If anything, he'll cop out. Like, he'll just drink this smoothie himself.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe, because the reason why I say the smoothie is because it's been a running thing in the last couple, like, mm-hmm. like Saxon, you know, whatever. There's been so much importance and time placed on Saxon and his godforsaken smoothies that I am thinking,
oh my god, and then Saxon might kill himself after he sees his dad dead with the smoothie as well. Romeo and Juliet kind of style, like, you know, you figure it out, you're like, oh, you look around, Romeo finds the poison, or however the fuck that happened.
Yeah. Especially if that all happens, he gets his phone, like, especially after, like, his, like, monologue base. It wasn't a monologue, it was dialogue, but it was basically Saxon just telling,
yeah, his whole Timothy, life is tied, like, to his dad.
Exactly. And his job.
Right. And I think, you know, he's older, but, like, he's not 30. His frontal lobe is completely developed.
Mm-mm.
You know, I feel like he would do something rash.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, man. I'm not excited for that storyline to play out.
No.
Ooh. The reason why I was thinking this might be a time that Timothy actually does something is because Piper and Lockie are both out. They wouldn't actually see anything happen mm-hmm. because they're at the temple. So, you know, I don't know. It's almost like, and their vacation's coming to an end, and it's kind of like, you know, if you're going to do anything, strike at the best time. And like, I actually think like he looked the most motivated in this past episode when he goes to look for the gun and it's not there. Thank God it wasn't there, but he looked like he was actually ready to do it.
Yeah.
For the first time. So it's really hard actually just as podcasters and people that talk about this to talk about suicide like this. You know, yeah. I think that we talk about it like it's trivial and it's not.
It's not.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm like really nervous to see how that plays out. I like really, really hope that it becomes a thing. Like, it would be fucking hilarious if he was like, actually, Piper, I want to stay with you too. Oh. Oh, I want to stay here for a year and find myself and ground myself.
Oh my God.
Oh man. And then poor Lachlan. He is just lost. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, I feel like some theories were, I mean, we all question it. We're like, who's the dark horse? You know, but really, like, I think we talked about it a bit with him. Like, he's kind of young. They're from such a sheltered place. Like, he really knows and trusts his family. Like, he wants their approval. It does seem very, like, people-pleasing. Because even he said it to Piper, like, I thought you would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that very, like, earnestly. I was just like, oh, okay, dude. Like, you really, you just want to feel, I don't know, like, like you fit in, like everyone.
Right. I think that he is just like, because I wrote that like at first before, like when she says, you know, I really love you. Usually your knee jerk reaction to somebody saying that is, yeah, I love you too. And so the fact that he didn't say it and he paused, I was like, okay, that's odd. But then that's when he says that he wants to stay there with her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she,
that's kind of a way of saying, I love you though.
No, it is, but it's also codependency. Yeah.
And we also know that he's running from something.
Well, right. And there's the codependency of it, which is what strikes me immediately because she, and like also with Piper, like I really understand what she's, cause like I get the same way where I'm just like, if I feel like I need to be in a change of scenery and around new people and not around the norm or whatever. Like I feel that very strongly. And then when I'm forced to still be around the same things, like it really, really can drive me crazy. So like with Piper, the way that she's feeling is like, she just wants to go on her own journey and do her own thing. So Lachlan, you know, them being so close and him saying that he wants to stay, it's kind of like selfishly, she's like, fuck dude, like this was just going to be my thing, you know? And like, I just like, her escape, like the escapism of just what is normal for her, I understand it. But I also really felt bad for him in the moment because he just fucked things up with Saxon. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have that relationship anymore. And now he's like leeching on to whatever he can get out of Piper because, yeah, you know, his parents are just have him constantly struggling between decision making. You know, I don't know, it's just like, I just feel really bad for him, and I feel really bad that like I think that he's gonna leave without a good relationship, like a more evolved relationship with his brother and sister.
Yeah.
I think he's leaving in a worse spot than when he came in.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm like Lachlan, go find something that you actually like. With food that you actually like.
Yes, please.
You know, yeah. And do your own 1 year thing.
Yeah, there's a whole world out there. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, go get mm-hmm. it. It's your oyster.
Oh my God, him trying to eat the food was fucking hysterical, oh by God. The way. Yes. He just like, shovels in what looks like a rice mixture. And then, like, the look
disgust. The water. Honestly, from someone who used to be a picky eater, that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Okay, another theory.
Oh my gosh, you have so many.
I know. Okay, this is one that I've already said on the pod, but I think that there is proof, or there's just more
support
of it. Yeah, support. That it could be true is that Guy Talk is the one that does all of the shooting. One of the things that I've paid attention to that's different than from this White Lotus to the other White Lotuses is that the other White Lotuses, we either don't even hear gunshots or the weapon, whatever happening. We just see, like, I don't know. What I thought was alarming about this one was that it was like an array of gunshots that we hear. It's like over 12, which means that either a bunch of people are shooting, one person is shooting like a madman, like just emptying a clip into somebody.
Guy Talk's gun is a handgun. How many bullets would that even hold?
No, but it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. It would likely be 9. I think there's 9 in a normal magazine.
Okay.
Oh, so then maybe
it's like, I don't think you could unload 12 in that little
thing. Yeah.
I could be absolutely wrong. Like, we could fact check this, but I'm just like thinking, I'm like, that, the, it just, from an architectural standpoint, that's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, I think so too, because of like the talk that he has with Mook on the date. Unfortunately, she's, you know, kind of gunning for violence.
Or at least, okay, hold on. Sorry, just to go back before we okay, pistols can hold, usually typically use magazines that hold 15 to 17 rounds.
Oh, okay.
So it could just be one gun. Because okay, I was gonna say, I don't know if that's like a clue, but if it was, because there was, I counted over 12. I counted, I think it was 12 or 13 that I counted. But anyways, okay, what you were saying.
I'm just saying, like, I think with the Mook conversation, Guy Talk could do it. You know, he likes her. He wants to impress. We've seen that since the beginning. But I think the conversation that he had with her, and the thing is, like, even what he said, she still tried to, like, push him. He was like, yeah, the Buddha condemns it. And, like, even in self-defense, like, I still wouldn't feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's still like, well, you know, I thought you were more ambitious, like you wanted more. Da, da, da. That's what the job requires. It felt very recruity.
Yeah, yes, it did. It felt pushy. Also, like, yeah, when I think about Mook, what is her reasoning for wanting him to be this way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, like, I just can't, there's a motive there, clearly. And I don't think at first in the beginning of the season, I thought that it was she wants to date him, but she wants to see that he's going to work really hard and be ambitious and whatever, because she's very ambitious and she wants somebody that's going to match that same energy. But now after this, yeah, it does. It does feel either recruity or she's using him as a chess piece somehow in her own game, yeah, is what it feels like.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's why I said I could punch her, because I'm just like, do not take innocence from my sweet Guy Talk, my sweet, adorable, terrible at his job, clearly Guy Talk. And I'm just like I, it's never been more clear. It's been pretty clear this whole time, but it's never been more clear that Guy Talk, I'm like, baby boy, please go back into the job market. Security is not for you. You know?
Yeah, it's not for him. It truly isn't.
Gosh, but yeah, so there is, I had the theory before, but Guy Talk is the one that he is either going after somebody or gets involved in a shootout with somebody, and it's become sporadic because we see at the gun range that he's a very good shot, like he's got great aim, but we also, you know, hear from the other person that like he doesn't have a killer instinct. So I don't know, maybe this is like he's taking what Mook is saying and he's trying to prove something, you know. We also know that he knows that Valentin is behind the robbery. So, and he sees, there's a point in the trailer that he sees Valentin standing there with Fabian. I think greeting new guests, but yeah, I don't know. There's just something that was really odd about there being so many shots and them being sporadic. It wasn't just like, unload the clip. It sounds like somebody is running after somebody because they're inconsistently timed.
Right. I do so, wonder what his boss says, because I think we see in the next episode, like, in the trailer, that he's like, yeah, you know, like, I have something to tell you about the robbery. And, like, the guy is the one who brought in the gun, like, so mm-hmm. quick. And I'm like, are you all a part of this, too?
Right. Is it all just corrupt?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it started from corrupt. It started from corruption. Like, all of the reason why Jim is so, like, you know, the owner of Thailand is because of corruption. We hear that, you know, just even in Rick's backstory. So, and then even just, like, them, their security detail being, like, actual gangsters, it's, like, it's, I wouldn't doubt that everybody is in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I hope, I really, really hope that Guy Talk doesn't die. I like, because that's kind of the thing is, like, if he is involved in a shootout, what are the chances that he makes it out alive? Slim.
True. With these gangsters? Yeah, slim.
Slim.
Slim to slim. None.
Slim shady for my boy. Okay. and then there's another theory that I actually read from a Redditor, and I will tag them in the description. I read it just before we jumped on, but I thought it was really interesting. I think I'm saying this correctly. I didn't fact check myself before, but the Sisin bracelets, it's basically the bracelets that everybody received when they first arrived in episode one. And they're like these big puffy bracelets. You can't miss them. They're not normal looking bracelets, but you put them on your wrist. Everybody, and they're supposed to bring luck and safety and whoever to, it's like a Buddhism tradition. So they gave them out to all of the guests as they arrived as, you know, have a great, safe week. And then there was only two people that didn't take it. Rick originally, when offered it, said, no, I'm okay. And then Chelsea says, like, she nudges him and says, like, Rick, take it. He takes it, and then in this post, there's actually a screenshot of Rick giving it back, which I never caught, even after watching the first episode probably four times at this point. I never caught that he actually gives it back, and it's a very obvious shot of him giving it back. And then Saxon takes it, smells it, makes like a wince, and then puts it back. So there is that theory of, you know, it's just totally different from what you and I have seen or talked about, but I thought it was really, you know, interesting what? That it was.
That actually, okay, just to go back to the dad, Timothy and Saxon, I do think that it could be an accidental death where Timothy makes the smoothie for himself, but, you know, the only one who's been drinking smoothies has been Saxon. Mm-hmm. So he'll probably end up drinking it on accident. I hope
that's why I said when I read that, I was like, that kind of supports one of my other theories.
Okay.
About Rick and basically Rick and Saxon being the only ones that die.
How's Rick going to die though?
I don't know.
Huh.
It didn't say how they're going to die. It just said that the two of them might die.
Okay.
I mean, but Rick could easily die from the security guards, right? Or a hitman.
True.
Or, you know, I don't know. Fucking Frank might kill him.
They're just letting out poisonous snakes for, you know, being laced and high.
He smokes the fucking, the laced weed again and fucking does some crazy shit.
Yep. He's
oh my God, reckless. I forgot that happened. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. I definitely think that there could be an accidental death in the family.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I brought up the smoothie is because there is a scene. There were not a lot of clips in the finale trailer. But one of them that I did catch was the smoothie being mixed.
Right.
And so, and because that's been such a, like, you know, I don't know, like not a theme of the season, but it's just been such a thing. It's like called out every single episode that he consistently, even after rolling balls and having a threesome with his brother, he still makes himself a fucking smoothie. Well, like,
consistency is key, I guess.
It's like the make your bed every morning fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are all the theories I have. I mean, also I want to say with Belinda, I don't really have a theory on this yet, but okay. So this is, I'll just go over what we know about the finale. I was going to do this before, but I forgot. What we absolutely know is that the finale is called Amor Fati, which means a love of one's fate. We know that, Timothy remembers the poisonous fruit and that Pam tells him that the locals called the suicide tree. We see that in the trailer. We see Guy Talk running with a gun. And we know that he now knows about Valentin organized robbery. And then Belinda and Zion meet up with Greg again at Greg's house. So we see that part of it. And Belinda is like, I'm not having any part of this. This is a waste of time. That's all we see from that interaction. And then, yeah, the Sam Rockwell and a Speedo stabbing a mannequin. That's all we got.
It's true.
It's That's true. All we got. So it's not a lot to go off of here, but
no. Man, I don't know. This one was pretty good. I still am sad for the girls because that conversation was painful and annoying. Yeah. I know it's super like relatable, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, and like Lori, she really worried me for a second. Like I was like, live your best life, but also like.
You're in fucking Thailand. Yes. Like chill, girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I know we didn't really talk about them that much, but I think that's because I'm pretty confident that none of them are going to die. But I do think that, like I said, they're either going to go back to complete normal because it sounds like this has been, I mean, they've been friends for their entire lives and they've been the same people their entire lives. Like Lori said in the last episode, it's funny that we just never change.
Right.
I will say that Lori being passed off to fucking Alexi, like I did not like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like when Valentin got up and moved his seat after the friends got there. I feel like he was just kind of like passing her off and that felt like shit. I'm happy that at least that guy was hot and it wasn't Vlad that she ended up hooking him with. But then him asking her for money, oh my God. I was like, this can't possibly get any worse. And then it does.
Right. Right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Yeah. And her face going out of that window, my Lord, Lori. Like, you know, I have to say the dick smack was hilarious, but then you know, she kind of hits her. She was hitting
her
respectfully.
She's just smacking her on the head.
But she was doing it respectfully. She wasn't punching her out. She was just like, okay, I got to get you a little bit. She was open.
Yeah, she was just smacking her a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I really respected that girl for every move that she made. Shout out to that Russian girl or whatever she is. I don't know exactly where she was.
Yeah, there, they're definitely Russian. They're definitely Russian.
I thought so, but I wasn't 100%.
That was so fucking funny. When Lori gets at, like, she's, like, jumps out of the bed, she's trying to get dressed, and then she, like, runs to the other room, and her pants are falling off, and you just see ass crack, and I was like, this is fucking gold. Like, it was so funny.
Even the way she rips her shirt on, and, like, her just boobs are flying, I was like, this is so relate. This is the real most realistic thing I've ever seen. Like, I love it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I think that, what I didn't like about the whole thing is, like, I liked that, like, they each kind of went at each other. And honestly, I feel like it's so crazy that, like, Kate is probably – I still love Lori, but Kate was very well-spoken when she was speaking at the dinner table. But I did not like that she only backed Jacqueline up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I did not like that. That's, like, that's one of the biggest things with three people friendships. Like, what I've talked about is that, like, you have, like, the third person should just be silent if two of them are arguing. Just be there to listen to them vent. But if you have an opinion, the other person is gonna feel ganged up on.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, I feel like, what happened. And I think that Lori actually had a pretty healthy response to it. You know, she was just like, all right, fuck this, I'm leaving.
Agreed. Agreed. And I agree that Kate was well spoken. And I think the reason that she didn't back up Lori is because she knows Lori's not a ticking time bomb like fucking Jacqueline is. And it sucks that there's like preferential treatment in a sense, or like, you know, like it's like she has to baby Jacqueline to keep like their friendship like from it getting like, because like the way that Jacqueline responds to everything is so just dismissive and like I'm not in the wrong. She had one moment after Lori got up from the table where her face dropped a little bit. It almost looked like she had a thought where she was thinking about like, maybe I did fuck up, because the last thing Lori said was like, you did something fucked up and I'm the one in the wrong. Like, that's exactly verbatim what she said. So I don't know. I like Kate. I don't like that she didn't back her up, but I think there's a reason. Like, I think she knows that, like, her and Lori are going to be good because, like, they're more mature than fucking Jacqueline is.
And less needy as people. Okay, sorry to switch gears really quickly. This is very, very interesting. I was just trying to confirm the runtime for the finale because I had heard that it was an hour and a half. But so I was just trying to confirm that while we were talking. It is, HBO did confirm that the finale will be 90 minutes long, an hour and a half. And somebody on this Reddit thread said, and this is really interesting, they think that three people are going to die because three is an unlucky number and bad things always happen in threes. And how many times has Chelsea said that all season long? Okay, so out of everybody, who do you think is going to die?
Oh my gosh, are you asking me to pick my three?
Yeah, pick your top three. Top three going to die.
Okay, well, I think it's got to be probably Saxon.
Okay.
Because of that accidental death theory. I think it'll probably be... I don't know, one of the girls for some reason.
You think so?
There's a clip in the next trailer where Lori looks real sad looking down at the other two in the pool.
Yeah.
But she's got a daughter, so I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know. I feel like it might be one of the girls. I don't know which one.
I think if anything, it would be the biggest impact if it was Jacqueline.
Okay.
Like from a television viewership us perspective, like audience perspective, I think that would be the biggest, I don't know, like the wildest kind of scenario is it's actually Jacqueline that's like.
So she had a reason to be a bitch this whole fucking time?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. There was a theory way back in the beginning that Jacqueline has like a terminal disease, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, it's called being fucking self-centered.
Right. It's called narcissism. Yeah. no, but okay. So, okay. One of the girls, you don't know which one, maybe Lori, third.
You know what? I'm just going to put my last one as fucking Greg. God, I just have to vote him in. I got to put his name into the gauntlet of fire.
I am only thinking not Greg just because the Zion's response to the bullets. Because he's very worried about Belinda in that opening scene. And I don't think he would be as worried if Greg was dead.
Yeah, but he
doesn't
know
Greg and... What?
He doesn't know who's dead.
No, I know. But then why would Greg die? How would Greg die then?
I don't know yet. I'm just hoping that he does. So that's why I'm voting him in. Maybe he...
I know, but this is... We're just doing an exercise. Okay, how could he die?
Zion sees someone with a gun, wrestles it out of him, then sees Greg and friggin' out of there.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he's going for his mom, you know?
Yeah, as one of the third. As in not the body that's floating in the water that Zion finds. Because there's a body floating in the water.
Oh, no. Okay, who's on the yachts?
What do you mean? Oh, no. In the water, like in...
Yeah, so I know, so this... but who would be shot into the water in there? Like, who's working in there?
That's the thing. I don't know. But basically, like, in all of the, like, therapy places, it's basically, like, where Pornchai... Pornchai! Oh, no! Oh no, anybody but Pornchai.
Anybody but Pornchai.
there's like the springs, if you will. It's just like the ponds that are in. And that's what like Zion is
in
wading through. Yeah, and he sees a body and we just see like we barely see anything. It's very Mike White.
I don't know. Okay, who are your top three?
I think Guy Talk. Oh, it pains me to say that. I think Guy Talk. I think Saxon. And you know what's interesting about Rick is when you were saying that you had a theory about Rick, I thought that it would be a death theory. I didn't think that it would be the theory that you had.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm ruled by Scorpio. I think about death all the time.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about.
I know.
When I'm thinking about Rick, I think about something that Chelsea said in this last episode of I represent, we're like yin and yang, I represent hope, he represents sadness, pain, and, you know, and one of us will win, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, and then also thinking about the trailer, they have this scene where it looks like they're either reuniting or there's something really happy happening. And the, you know, they run up to each other and hug each other on the beach. They both look very, very happy. But then in like the next clip, she's crying and she's saying, please don't do something stupid. And he says, I'm going to be okay. And that makes me think that he's leaving her again for some reason. And what is he going to do? I don't know. I'm going to put Rick as a question mark.
Yeah, we got 90 minutes, so a lot can happen.
It's going to be wild.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be wild. And my third...
Wait, is that three now?
No, I said Guy Talk, Rick, and...
Saxon.
Saxon is also a question mark.
Okay.
I'm more sold on Guy Talk than I am Rick or Saxon. I'm like 50-50 between Saxon and Timothy, and then I'm also 50-50 that Timothy doesn't just kill himself, Victoria, and Saxon.
But why would he only kill them and then leave the other two?
Because they're not there.
Ugh. I just don't understand that logically for him.
I don't either, but he's not thinking logically either.
That's true.
He's very fucked up. He's sedated and still walking around. He is ambient the fuck up. He is hallucinating. He has suicidal ideologies. Yeah. Like, he's... Or ideations. It's... Yeah, he's... I don't know. He's like a walking time bomb.
He's not doing well.
No. Also, I just want to say that, like, she... Like, Victoria would pop, like, one of those things and be, you know... Zooty tooty, and he's popping two at a time, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
He is barred the fuck out.
Yeah, he is. He's not having a good time.
No.
Ugh. Yeah, his story.
It's like what's so actually hard. Also crazy about it too, like crazy about it for me is that like it's really, really the reputation that they have. I don't think it's jail time at all. I think because his lawyer said we could probably get you out in a few months. And I'm like, anybody would just take that. They'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm fucked. This is a closed, open, closed court case. Plead guilty, take a couple months, I'll be out, start to rebuild my life, you know.
It's true.
From there. But he, it's just all of the, oh, it's just the classism of all of it, of him just not, just owning up and, you know, taking responsibility. But like part of, I was going to talk about this last week and I don't think I did, but, going along with the spirituality theme of the season, I was thinking like a lot of, I think actually I might've talked to you about it. I can't remember if I said it on the pod, but just the Buddhism is the idea of separating like your spirit self from the material world around you. Right. And basically like essentially, I mean, what we might say in other philosophies, but like ego death. And like, I feel like Timothy might go through ego death and be like, you know what? Reinvented, have a new outlook. I mean, obviously this shit doesn't happen overnight, but it could be a light bulb situation.
Yeah, where it's like an epiphany moment.
Right. Right. So that was like, that's what I hope happens, but we can't bank on that. I was hoping that would have already happened by now, especially after the meeting with the monk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does say to Greg, like, he's an alright guy. So,
yeah, he's pretty
he might
legit.
Be turning.
Pretty legit.
Yeah. Pretty good guy. I can't, something along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Oh man, I'm excited, but I'm not
Man.
excited.
I know, I know. I'm almost like, I feel like we've got to FaceTime and watch this one.
I know.
I need moral support.
Exactly. We're gonna be grieving. I don't want this.
I know. I like because like regardless of who dies, it's never who you want to die. It's always traumatic. It's like never the bad guy. You know, which is why I'm like hoping, you know, it's so funny actually because Jennifer Coolidge did an interview and somebody was like, how does it feel like seeing Greg on for the third season? You know, what do you hope happens? And she's like, I hope he fucking dies, dude. So I'm like, you know, give Jennifer Coolidge what she wants.
Yeah,
Give her justice.
truly.
Yeah.
Well, he might
But
make it.
regardless of what it is, it's gonna be crazy, and we're absolutely seated for it.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess on that note, we will see you guys next week for the finale. We're here with you. Okay, we're here to morally support you because we know. Anyways, love y'all.
Love y'all. Find us on Instagram at HBHostPod to, you know, join in on the conversation.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Bye.
R.I.P. Bye.
Bye. Mm.